Welcome to the world first app reskinning tournament. This is Johan from appsfresh.com. We are very excited to bring you the news. The app reskinning industry has never been stronger than it is today, and now is the time to bring the community together into this exciting event. We got some amazing sponsors to back this tournament with amazing prizes. We've got troopamobile.com, aptopia.com, AppBattleground.com, Gabriel Marcheret of App360.co, Steve Young of AppMaster.co, and my team at ThatsFresh.com, and we were able to come up together and give away thousands of dollars in prizes. These prizes include several top source code, graphic packs, icon packs, screenshot templates, video preview templates, ASO services, one-on-one coaching from the best of the industry, and an exclusive access to Steve Young's Elite App Masters group. These prizes are life-altering and can transform your app reskinning venture into a growing business. Now, you must be wondering how this app reskinning tournament works and how to participate. It's easy. On July 1st, 2014, we will be giving away a mystery top iOS game source code with graphic packs to all participants. The participants have about a month to reskin the game and publish it to the App Store. The three persons that reach the highest rank in the USA App Store win the prizes. It's that easy. Now you're free to use the graphic packs that are included with the source code, or you can come up with your own theme, that's no problem. The source code comes with an unlimited license and costs hundreds of dollars on its own. So, everyone that participates is already a winner, because the source code and the graphic packs are yours to keep forever. So, don't wait any longer and come have fun, meet and interact with people from the industry. Go sign up at appsfresh.com/tournament. By the way, the number of spots are limited. This is the world first app reskinning tournament. It's going to be big, so come make history with us. I'll see you on appsfresh.com/tournament. Welcome to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. This is your host, Johan Tayeb. My goal is to help you get the most out of reskinning apps. Whether you're already a full-time entrepreneur or trying to get a business going, this podcast is for you. We will be interviewing professionals that are already doing app reskinning for a living. We will also invite source code sellers to get to learn about what they have to offer. And finally, we will talk to industry experts to learn how to become more productive at flipping apps. And now, without further ado, let's get started. Today I have an amazing guest. His name is Simon Crack, and he's been in the mobile app industry for quite a while. And what's so special about Simon Crack is that he uses Unity as his main engine to make games. So I don't want to get too much into details right now. So let me introduce you, Simon. Hey Simon, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, thanks. So, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, you know, who you are, how you ended up in the mobile app industry, and especially into the reskinning industry, and anything you think you'd like to mention about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So, it's about, I guess, about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago that I got into the sort of app industry seriously. I'd made an app probably about 4 years ago, when the App Store really just sort of began. I made a simple app. It was with App Maker, like an online website where you can just take feeds from websites. Okay. And it was a real simple app. This was my first one. And basically, I took my magic website at the time where I taught magic tricks. I turned it into an app. And I released it, and it did okay. But at the time, I didn't really know how to monetize it. I was getting around 2,000 downloads a day, but I was making sort of no money. I mean, the traffic was coming back to my website, but I didn't really know how to monetize it. So, you know, that was kind of like the first app that I made. And to be honest, I kind of put it on the back burner. I got on with other stuff, and it wasn't until a year later I sort of wanted to jump back into the industry because I could see it kind of flaring up.
Okay, now question, what's your background in the sense of were you a computer scientist? Were you a programmer before? Were you a graphic designer or none of the above?
Graphic designer, yeah. So I was employed for about 7 or 8 years as a graphic designer.
Okay.
And it was getting to the point in my job where, for a small company like we were, the work wasn't coming in anymore. Mm-hmm. So everyone kind of got laid off and lost their jobs. And I got made redundant, and I got another job at another graphic design firm, but that only lasted about a year, and they went. So I was kind of like forced out on my own. So I was like, okay, let's try the app stuff. That seems to be, you know, popular. So kind of I was doing a magic website on the side that was kind of internet marketing, teaching people how to do magic tricks. So I was kind of doing that, and I was, you know, earning some decent money from that, but I kind of wanted to move into the app space. So that's kind of where I came from, a graphic designer, magician, and then coming into the apps.
Now, question, when you say graphic designer, you know, I mean, you're one of the few that I actually got to interview that was a graphic designer before. The majority were either, you know, entrepreneurs or programmers or, you know, different backgrounds. But something is very interesting to me is that you have amazing skills in the sense that you can create your own graphics. Now, were you doing graphics for video games before, or it's something that you are doing right now, or you're not even doing the graphics yourself?
I do my graphics, a lot of the graphics myself. I came from, you know, when I was working as a designer in a company, we were doing all sorts, packaging design, leaflets, websites. So it kind of, you know, you kind of learn on the job there, and I kind of took those skills that I picked up and, you know, transferred them into making apps. So it's the same sort of thing, you know, it needs to be good, you know, good design, needs to be eye-popping, it needs to catch attention. So that kind of helped me, so I took those skills mm-hmm. over, you know, into what I'm doing now. But I still like to do the graphics side of my apps. I do outsource some of the graphics mm-hmm. A lot of the time. But I've still got that kind of thing where I'll take an icon that someone might have done. It might be an awesome icon, but I'll just have this thing where I've got to just tweak it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'll just tim back the background, make something else pop out. You know, I've always got to have that sort of input. And I think that's, I don't know, it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing, because it can take up my time where I could be doing something else.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, if I take one icon and I tweak it a little bit, I can just see, well, that's going to give me that extra boost, you know, that extra download. So I feel like I have to have that input there.
Okay, definitely. Now, question, I mean, since you're a graphic designer, you must be kind of hard on the quality that you want from the graphic designers, yeah. that's the freelancers, right? So,
Definitely.
So you probably know better than I do that you get all types of quality up there. You know, you get from like really low quality to really high, but obviously you have to pay the price when you want high quality. So can you share with us what's your technique, or what is your strategy that you use to get good graphics and, you know, at a decent price, and where do you go and how do you do that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I use the main sort of industry website, as in, what is it? Freelancer, Odesk, mm-hmm. Elance. But I will post a job and obviously people apply and you search through and you can look at their portfolios. You can see some of the stuff that they've come up with. And some of the time I've looked in their portfolio and I've seen a character that they've drawn and they've made, but it's never gone anywhere. And I've been like, dude, that character is awesome. Where, you know, what was that for? And he was like, oh, I just kind of sketched it one day. And I'm like, let's make a game.
Yeah, give it to me.
I'll have, you know, we'll do a game with this. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you can get the person doing the work for you excited, you know, that helps a lot. It's not just a job for them. Actually, you know, you're taking their artwork and you're producing something with it. And, you know, you can, you know, I find that if you get on with the guy that you're dealing with and you're both pumped for the work.
Right. I see why
it's a better product.
I see where you're going with that. It's not just another job.
It's not just a whip that you're just going, make me some graphics, you know? I think that's very different. You've got to get on with a person, get them pumped, makes you pumped, and you come out with a better product at the end.
Absolutely, definitely. And, you know, like many times, you can see from the people, whenever they really like the project, they're ready to, you know, not even discuss the price, you know. They will be fine with whatever you give them as long as they really enjoy and they're passionate about it. Absolutely.
That's it. And that's that's exactly how you can then pay, you know, a fair price for something, because it's not just the, they're not in it for the money, they're in it for the passion as well. So that, you know, they tend to not overprice stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So question, how many apps do you have so far?
I have about 110.
Whoa. All right. And so you've been working on them on every one of them, or you just outsource some of them completely?
Most apps I have had a touch in, you know, whether it's an icon, screenshots, you know. So I'm still graphic wise definitely sort of full in. There's not many apps that I've produced that I've had no, just let it go. You know, I've delved in and produced, you know, most of them. So yeah.
Okay, so you're still hands on.
It's hard work. It's hard work.
It is, definitely. Now, do you mind sharing a number of downloads? I mean, with 110 apps, you must have some pretty nice numbers here, right?
Yeah, not too bad. I've done just over 2 million downloads today.
That's great. That's great. Congratulations.
It's not 10 million, you know. It's a lot of guys out there, you know, I know, that are doing a hell lot more, but, you know.
Right. I know where you're going with that, but you also have to look at the people in the at the bottom. You know, there's plenty of people that would love to have to hit the $1 million, the million number of downloads, right? So definitely. I mean, you've been here for 2 years and a half, so it's about a million downloads a year. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I know. I worked that out the other day. I was like, well, you know, that's about a million downloads a year. So we'll keep pumping and try and, you know, double X that next year, you know. But
right. So now, before even getting into your apps that you made, I want to know about the icons, because I know you're the one touching the icons. So is there any specific tools that you use, or can you just explain us your process, how to make great icons?
Yeah, I mean, I use the tool, you know, it's Photoshop. You know, that's the sort of industry standard that I got brought up with, you know, learning for 7-8 years, so I know Photoshop pretty well. But for me, I think to kind of break down an icon, you need to keep it simple.
Okay.
Not too much going on. A lot of icons you see, there's too much stuff going on. You need to, you know, if you've got a character in your game, just focus on that character.
Okay.
Don't make the icon too messy. It's quite handy if the character's, you know, these nice, got some good colours going on, then just mute the background, you know, so there's a contrast between the background and the foreground. Just
okay.
Make it jump out more.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to sort of break it down, but generally, you know, a nice border as well, if you can have a nice red border.
Oh, so you do put borders around. Okay, good to hear. Do you put like 3D borders or 2D borders, or have you tried all of them? Do you have any preference?
Yeah, I've tried all of them. Yeah, sometimes I like to give them a little bit of a bevel, but as well as just sometimes you can add too much shadow to a border, mm-hmm. and then it darkens the color. So I tend to, you know, try and keep it simple, a nice red bright border.
Okay.
You know, maybe a background yellow which contrasts with the red.
Okay.
So it's all about, you know, different sort of colors and stuff. But you train yourself. When you look through icons, there's certain icons that jump out at you.
That's right.
Right? You know,
absolutely.
As you're looking through.
Yeah, definitely. I've been told, and I've been using the red and the green color as the two main colors when it comes to icons. Those are the ones that attract your attention the most. But absolutely, contrast is very important as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So
Testico is a brilliant website. I'm sure you know of it anyway, but you know, they could do with updating it for iOS 7 icons, but I use it daily. You know, you can upload an icon and it shows you on the screenshot, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Testico, right. And it shows you how it looks around other, on the home device.
Different backgrounds, yeah. And, you know, the best thing is to obviously get the URL, type it into your device, or send yourself the link and actually look at it on the iPhone, on the iPad, rather than on screen, because it can change. Because obviously, you know, on screen, it looks brilliant, it's all massive, but when you actually get it down to a small icon on your iPhone, you know,
Absolutely.
Just make sure it still pops.
Yeah, for sure. So now let's talk about your apps. Which one of your apps had the most success in the App Store?
Well, going back to, like I say, the first app I ever built was the Magic one, and then I sort of came away, it was about a year later, I revisited it, and I paid a Chinese developer. In the end, it was like $2,600 for an app.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this was, you know, going to be brilliant. I thought this was amazing. I thought everyone would download it. I spent a ton of time on it, a ton of money. Released it, and then it made no money at all.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, right, so this plan doesn't work, you know.
Right.
So the next app I built, I spent $100 on it. I took it the other end of the scale. I thought, well, obviously that plan didn't work, so need a new plan. So the next app I built, literally $100, and I just threw it out there, and that app went on to make $15,000 to date.
Whoa. So yeah, that's incredible.
I knew that plan was, you know, that was the better plan. Make apps for low cost,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end of the day, you've not got that much to get back before you're into profit.
That's right. And you bring up a good point in the sense that anyone from the game industry, you know, any gaming industry, you think that you have to spend a lot of time to make a AAA game, you know, like an amazing game. So, and you think that you're going to invest so much time and money and effort in an app, you think that would do great. As a matter of fact, it's completely untrue. It's completely false for the mobile app industry. It's the actual opposite. People don't really want to play AAA games there. People want to play small games that don't need much brain power, in the sense that you just take the app. You don't even know what to do, but as long as you just press the screen, you will understand right away what you have to do. And, you know, they might end up playing this, being in a line, you know, for at a coffee shop or waiting for a friend or being in the train or in the bus or something. It's, you know, like a couple minutes here and there. So it's very, it doesn't require the attention that you need to put in a AAA game like Gears of War or, you know, or Final Fantasy, where you really need to work on your character and things like that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So going back to the fact that you only spent a couple hundreds of dollars and you made $15,000 out of this, compared to the other app that you made, that you spent $2,600 and you pretty much made no money out of this. So yes, so keep the costs as low as possible and keep iterating and producing more
at
and
least,
more, right?
At least in the beginning, yeah, definitely. At least in the beginning, if you're just starting out, mm-hmm. I would say spend hardly any money making your first app, you know.
Right.
There's no point. I see so many people that email me every day, and they're like, "Right, I want to build this app, and my budget's like $2,000." And I'm like, "We'll just make 20 to 30 apps for that $2,000." You know, don't spend all the money on that one idea that could fail. You know, you spend the money on 20 ideas, and then you find the ones that work.
You're right. Yes, it's pretty much like it's called the spaghetti theory. So you know you just take a bunch of apps and like spaghettis and throw them on the wall, and the one that sticks are the one that you're going to focus on.
Right, exactly. And then once you know what theme or what kind of, you know, app is working, you can then, like you say, build upon it, make another two, make it 10 times better than the first one, but still with the same theme or flavor, or, you know, and there you go.
Absolutely. Yep. That's definitely a strategy that that worked, and I've seen many people using that strategy, and that's definitely the way to get in the mobile app reskinning industry. And then, if you want, moving away from reskinning and creating your own creative games, you know, with very original concepts. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. No. You know, when the revenue starts coming in, and you can afford to, you know, bet some of the money from the revenue on other projects that may be a bit more fulfilling, you know, and you're not spending all your money that you haven't got on something. You're just taking a little bet that's not going to kill your business, you know. And if it pays off, then brilliant. If it doesn't, well, you've still got the revenue coming to try something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So now, a question about the source codes for your games. Now, I know you do a lot of Unity games. Do you now create your own source code, or you actually buy source code?
Just pretty much buy stuff. I started with sort of game builders from like Trey Smith, if you know, Project Zero type.
Right.
Have you seen the game builder that he released?
I've seen Project Zero and Project Mayhem, right? Those two, those two platforms to make apps, right?
Yeah. As soon as when he released that, I could see the potential at the beginning. Now I think it's a bit saturated. I think there's a lot of people in there doing the same thing. So the market's a bit saturated. But I was there at the beginning, and I, you know, released some apps using that software, and you know, they made quite a decent amount of revenue. And I've used Project Zero, I've used Project Mayhem. And now I think, like I say, it's probably the market's getting a bit saturated with those type of games. So that's when I've kind of sort of thought, well, let's move to Unity. So that's why I'm doing a bit of Unity stuff. And getting back to your question, the Unity Asset Store.
Right. So that's where you get your stuff from now. Okay.
Right.
And now I've seen the Unity Asset Store. I've used it myself. Again, now what's great about? Could you explain to people what's the Asset Store and what's so great about Unity and the Asset Store compared to any other engine?
Yeah, sure. It's pretty similar to any engine, really. I guess. It's not that much different. It's a different language. You need different programmers that, you know, don't necessarily work with Xcode, but you don't have to spend any more money. And for sort of a graphic design, sort of, I feel like some of the Unity type games have a perceived higher quality, you know, whether you can do 3D stuff. And I know it's not all about 3D stuff, you know, 2D games can do just as well, but if you want to, you know, have a slightly higher perceived quality, I kind of feel like the Unity stuff, 3D is definitely appealing. So that's kind of where I sort of moved to. And you can buy assets on the store for super, super cheap. Really cool 3D models, you know, that you can use in any games. So that's kind of, whereas before, you know, I was hiring a designer to do some graphics, and then I'd get a coder to do some code. I'm buying some graphics, some assets, and getting a Unity guy to throw them together.
Okay, I see. Now, once you have all those graphics and you have the game ready, how do you publish it? Do you do it yourself, or you have a programmer do it for you?
I do the main, you know, setting up the app. Sometimes I'll send them the certificates. Other times, if I'm busy, I'll get them to set the back end up. You know, it's good. I think it's still good to know all the ins and outs of the back end and to be able to do it yourself, but not necessarily do it yourself every single time. You know, it's cool to just go, oh, can you do that for me? And they're like, yes, and you're like, brilliant.
Right, but in order to tell them, you're right, in order to tell them what to do, you have to understand yourself what they need to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the more you know about the domain, the best it is for yourself, absolutely.
Definitely.
Now, how did you learn? I'm sorry.
Good guy, just quickly, sort of give a good tip that sort of helped me to get a good, like, coder. I would literally throw loads of jobs up on Elon's old desk, and then just, you know, you wait for all the guys to come back, and then you sift through them, and then maybe, you know, a couple that you think that are cool, contact, and then give them a simple, simple job. You just say, like, here's a Unity asset, here's another one, throw them together.
Okay.
You know, and I want to see it in a couple of days. And I usually give that to 2, 3, 4 people, maybe for a couple hundred dollars. And if the person comes back and they've done a good job and I can test it, then maybe they then get to take that project and make it into a game. If they're, you know, rubbish, they come back, oh, I didn't, couldn't do it, or this, that, and the other, then you know they're, you know, not so good.
Okay, so...
So I did that recently.
Let me try to rephrase. Let me try to rephrase how you're doing this. So technically, this is for you a way to filter the good workers from the so-so ones. So you basically give them just a few specific tasks to do in Unity. And if you see that they do it in a timely manner and and it's quite kind of good, you will give them a bigger project, maybe like reskinning a whole game. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I mean, the project that I give them initially will be a game, but it'll be a simple one.
Oh, okay. So you started with a simple one.
They're still doing something that's going to be helpful.
Okay.
So, you know, so and sometimes I give two guys the same job, and whoever gets back first gets it, and whoever doesn't, then, you know, sorry, you know, you're not for me. But, you know, that's, for me, that's kind of how I weed out the good from the bad. And, you know, if someone's going to do a good job for me, then they'll get back quick, and that'll be it. We'll be good to go.
So in order to do that, so it seems that you don't give any milestone money-wise, right? You don't give any percentage right up front, do you?
Sometimes. Most of the time, not. I mean, if I see someone that is super-duper, looks super-duper good, then maybe if he really wants, or she, then, you know, I will pay a little bit down. But okay. It will literally be $50 or $100. And most people, if they're good enough and they want to do enough, they'll just do that initial test for free.
Okay, I see. So now let's talk about your latest game that you made. How is it called, and what is it about?
It's a crazy game. Well, it's a monster. It's called Manic Monsters, and it's basically a 3D runner, kind of like Temple Run. But the idea is it's kind of mixed with like Pokemon, where you have to kind of unlock all the monsters. So when you start a game, the main screen is just one monster and the rest are silhouettes. So the idea of the game is you've got to like save all the other monsters and unlock them. So the idea for retention is, you know, you've got to unlock all the guys. You know, you see a silhouette and you want to unlock the monster to see who the next one is. So that's kind of like the idea, the theory behind it. And all the assets were purchased from Unity Asset Store.
Oh, right. So you didn't even do them yourself, huh?
I did the graphics, but only taking the graphics that, you know, the Unity guys had made. And I just made them look nice in screenshots.
Oh, okay. Because I've actually seen your icon and the game screenshot, and I can tell that it's very high quality. Those characters look very vibrant. The colors are amazing, and they have a lot of character and personality. So,
definitely.
So that's definitely a big plus.
Just got to have a good eye for character. You know, there's a lot of good stuff on Unity Asset Store, and there's a lot of bad stuff.
Right.
And you've just got, I think, well, you know, if you look at an asset, does it pop? Is it cool? Does it look good? Or is it rubbish? Would I have that game myself? You know.
Now, do you have any advice to find good assets quickly? Do you know any special way that you use to do that, to filter the good from the ugly?
Yeah. Obviously, first of all, it's visual. You can look at stuff, and if it looks a bit rubbish, then you're like, well, maybe not. Mm-hmm. If it looks cool, then you go onto the listing, have a read about it. Usually there's a link to the developer's website, so you can go and have a look at your stuff. And a lot of the time there's reviews underneath. So it's a bit like the App Store. So there'll be reviews. So some people will say, this is an awesome asset. You know, it's brilliant, and you get developer support, and you know, and that sounds good. Other times it'll be, oh, I purchased this asset and, you know, I couldn't import it, or it was buggy, or this, that, and the other. So the reviews definitely help, and obviously visually, and whether there's any contact details or websites for the guys who actually made the assets.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the tips. All right. So now let's talk about the source code that you use for this game. Is that something that you bought and then modified? Is that something that you just bought and used the way it is? Or is that something that you guys created in-house?
What, for this game?
Right, yes. The surfer clone.
For the monster game, yeah?
Right, yep.
Yeah, no, it's built from a couple of assets. It's the actual engine, the runner engine, is freely available on the asset store. I can't remember the name exactly, but there's like a little kind of vampire dude as the guy in the game. So basically, I took that, and then I bought some, you know, the characters that I felt were a bit more charismatic, and then I got the Unity guy just to swap in the monsters for the vampire dude. And we added stuff. We added like the UI to it, you know, and definitely we added ads and things like that, which, you know, when you buy stuff from the Unity Asset Store, it's not marketed, you know, it's not all set up for ads and things like that, but it's good raw stuff to chuck together to then be able to then add screens for a store, you know, for, you know, buying upgrades and things like that. So basically we take the source codes, put them together, and then we do modify them.
Oh, okay, I see. So it's technically source code, but it doesn't have any ways to monetize them or to make them appealing to make to publisher actually a game that would bring revenues, right?
Generally not. Sometimes you find a developer who's more, you know, revenue inclined, mm-hmm. bit more of an entrepreneur, so he maybe have added some ad networks into the games, but generally speaking, it's, you know, the bog standard. But it's the same as, you know, all you've got to do is look back at previous apps or other apps you've purchased and think, right, well, we'll put an ad in there, we'll put a screen in there for the store, and just the, you know, the UI, play, pause, you know, things like that.
All right. So if you just happen to remember what's the name of that runner that you got for free, let us know so I put it in the show notes, all right? Because I'm sure people would definitely enjoy it.
I don't think it was free, but it's super cheap. It's not, I mean, the assets, we're talking a few, some of them are $10, $20, $30 for really awesome stuff. You're talking about $100. So it's still not super, super expensive, really, for the asset you're purchasing, you know?
All right. Okay. Is there any resources you'd recommend online to learn more and that really helped you on the way to be where you are right now?
Going back, the first sort of app that I built was kind of, I read Chad Moretta. Mm-hmm. You must know of him in the industry. Right. I read his book.
Okay, the App Empire?
App Empire book. And I bought his course as well on the back of it. But to be fair, just read the book. You only need the book. The book says everything that you need to know, really.
Okay. It's funny. I mean, many of the past people that I interviewed also are all basically saying that this is the book to read. It's kind of like kind of the Bible of the mobile app industry. Even though I heard that... Yeah. By now, you know, the stuff is a little bit obsolete, but the spirit mm-hmm. behind is still the same mechanics.
Yeah, like you say, it probably is a bit out of date. You know, if I went back to read it now, it probably wouldn't be quite up to date. But like you say, it's, you know, it's the spirit behind it, and it's the story, and it kind of, that's where it sort of came from. But on the back of that, like I say, it's Carter Thomas's blog is awesome. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everyone probably knows about that.
Blue Cloud Solutions.
Blue Cloud Solutions. Jane, I'm just trying to think her name now. Chocolate Lab Apps.
Mm-hmm. All right.
She's got another awesome blog. There's loads of guys out there, you know, trying to tell people how to do stuff. That's kind of like my new thing. I've started a website. There's not much on it. There's not much on it at the minute, but it's kind of like I'm trying to give back to the community to kind of, I don't know, annotate what I've been doing so that other people can replicate it. So it's a new website.
What's the address?
It's appgremlin.com.
Appgremlin. All right.
Yeah. All so right. It's a new website. Like I said, there's not many pages on there at the minute, but it's kind of where I'm sort of wanting to go with. Just documenting everything, you know, get it written down. So there's kind of like a course there or some help, I hope, at least for some other people.
I mean, I'm sure you're going to go through loops and hoops and somebody on the way can avoid them. You know, they can avoid blockers and impediments by reading what you had to go through, definitely.
Definitely. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks for the info. And how can we keep in touch with you?
Appgremlin.com. There's a contact page, I think. If there isn't, I'll put one up. either that or it's simon@appgremlin.com and I'll pick up your email address.
All right. Well, Simon, thank you for everything. That's lots of knowledge that you came today and shared with the whole community. And I wish you even more success in the App Store, okay? And I want you to come back and reach that 10 million downloads number.
Definitely.
All right. Good luck,
my
friend.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Keep in touch.
Thanks very much. Cheers. Brilliant. Bye.
Nice. Thanks for listening to the Mobile App Flipping Podcast. If you find this podcast interesting, please subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. And sharing is caring, so spread the word. You can also follow me on Twitter at Johan305. That's YOHANN305. Also, come to appfresh.us. Appfresh.us. You'll find all the episodes, the show notes, and resources to make you more productive. See you at the next episode.